Sure. It's very intimate to me. And you'll understand as we go into this a little bit this morning, the reason why. But this is a passage of scripture. I think it has a hope and a promise with it. If you would stand, please, if you are able, for the reading of the Word of God. I'm going to be reading this morning from the New King James, and then I'm going to go to the New Living Translation and read for you. And I want to read, the first 9 verses of that scripture. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, the oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. They shall build the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the nations in their glory. You shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of humiliation, they shall rejoice over their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. I will faithfully give them their recompense and make the everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, because they are the descendants whom the Lord has blessed. Let me, if I can, and you may be seated. I didn't have a parallel Bible to bring with me today. It's probably in a box somewhere. But I have 2 Bibles, and so let me read from the New Living Translation, the same passage of Scripture. We can expand our understanding just a little bit. Here it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. Foreigners will be your servants. You will feed your flocks, and they will feed your flocks and plow your fields and tend your vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord, ministers of our God. You will feed on the treasures of the nations and boast in their riches. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of the prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully reward my people for their suffering and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be recognized and honored among the nations. Everyone will realize they are the people the Lord has blessed. Precious Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning, Lord God, that these people that you have blessed will be recognized among the nations, Lord God. Lord, that they would be a light to the nations as you've called. Lord, that they would understand that they are oaks of righteousness, that you have raised them up, Lord. From little acorns, they have grown saplings into strong, sturdy oaks of righteousness. And Lord, today, use us. You are a carpenter, and we are your oaks. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage of Scripture is very intimate to me and very personal to me. It it some 20 years ago when I went home for my mother's funeral. I was early on reminded of becoming a Christian that God had a call upon my life. I had given my heart to Christ just a year or two previous, and my mother had died, and it was time to go home and do her funeral, and 8 sons and a daughter were going to be standing in that sanctuary amongst many people that morning. And it was in an Episcopalian church. And the priest came up to me just before and he said, "Would you like to read a scripture today?" And there was no way I could deny the call upon my life and or the passage of scripture that he gave me to read, which was the one you just heard. The Spirit of an almighty sovereign God has anointed me to preach the good news. I left that service that day knowing that I could not deny the call upon my life. And God started to do something great in my life. Oaks of righteousness. It is a wood that we're not always really familiar with. But I want to maybe bring to your remembrance the value of oak compared to like cedar or white pine, the soft woods compared to this hard wood. The beauty of it compared to the beauty of the others. Not that the others aren't serviceable and usable, and they certainly are. And most homes are constructed with soft wood. But if you're going to make true furniture to show the glory of the carpenter's work, the hardwood is what they look for. And often oak is the choice and the choicest of those woods. And I believe that there's an increase in the value of oak if you go into a lumber yard. A 2x4 of soft pine isn't as expensive as a board of rich oak. So the value is seen by the carpenters who use. And they know the value and the increase of it. They know the density of that wood is stronger than the density of the pine or cedar. And so it has a greater strength. Durability. It can take more of a load. And these are all things that oaks of righteousness do. Not all trees, not all of us are created equal. We all have our own things that we go through. And Ephesians 4 and verse 11 tells us that the ministerial gifts God has given some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the church, the saints, and the edifying of the same. And I think some of these oaks reflect some of that that I would like to share with you today. Not all oaks are created equal. They have a difference in what they do and how they do it. And so today, if you're looking at this first slide, you'll see that there's a majestic oak in the foreground, but it looks different than the ones in the background, doesn't it? They are not the same, but they are the same oak tree. We are of the same family, but yet different in many ways. Today, you can see distinctly two different types of oaks there, but I want to discuss with you and show you this morning from the scripture and the word of God and really what the Spirit of God has laid in my heart about three types of oak. The river oak, the field oak, and the woodland oak. They are not the same. The river oak is really, I think, symbolically of that apostle, that prophet, that evangelist that stands by the highways of the world and gives a sign and shelter and a guidepost to those who are traveling through, sojourners along the highways of ancient time, would have traveled on rivers. And those major oaks along the river would have been a signpost to either get off there or travel across. Field oaks are not river oaks. They are kind of lonely and set apart. They're off by themselves often. And many pastors and teachers feel this way, set apart, but yet a part of and can see from there the woodland oak. And the woodland oak really, in my opinion, symbolizes all of us gathered here together as a congregation of the Lord. And so today, we could take a look at the river oak. We could take a look at this field oak, and we could take a look at the woodland oak. And we can understand a little clearer what it is God desires from us. And I believe that His desire for us and His faith in us far exceeds oftentimes our own desire and our own faith in ourselves. A river oak, if we can go to the next slide, Scripture says much about oaks by the river. Psalm 1 is probably one of the best. It says, "Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which a wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And so what is it about this river oak that really the psalmist is telling us? The first thing we need to understand is that a river oak is foundationally planted in the Word of God next to the living waters that bring life up into its shoots and its leaves. That is us, foundationally planted in the Word of God, reading each and every day the disciplines of a river oak, or go deep. It speaks in Psalm 1 of the things that an ungodly person does not do, or a godly person does not do. Walks not in the ungodly counsel, stands not with sinners, sits not in the seat of scornful. And I believe that the Lord is trying to tell us, and we need to recognize and grab a hold of the fact that our posture in the presence of a king matters to the king and into our life as we live it here, sojourning through. The river oak reaches into the water, and we need and know to understand that when we're walking along in this world, we don't listen to the scornful and the sinners. We don't stop and stand and take in what they have to say. And we certainly don't sit down and start to hear and feed from what they have to say. Our roots need to go into the living waters. A river is always considered living water. The Dead Sea, Jerusalem, those areas surrounding it, is dead because it's not connected. The salinity in it rises so high. It's coming to life because it's starting to be divided. And part of it is coming alive. But if there's no water coming in and no water going out, if there's not springs that bring fresh water, if there's not things to regenerate and cleanse, it will become stagnant and start to die. A river oak has a river with living water flowing and drinks deeply from it. This is our life. This is what we need to do. This is what God has called many to. So this posture in the foundational commitments of a river oak walking really intends to go past. I'm just walking through life. I'm just sojourning around when I intend to go past and I hear some things that are scornful, some things that are sinful, some things that come against and try to draw my attention away. But the godly person doesn't stop. Walk past. The ungodly stops. It's a change in posture. All of a sudden, we're curious about what is being said. We're curious about what we're seeing. We're curious about these things that the world brings, and they entice us, and they draw us away. But the river oak is not so. The river oak is into the living waters. Its roots go deep. And the posture doesn't change. All of a sudden, from walking to standing, the sinner's posture changes. He now wants to hear all that they have to say. And so really, from intending to go by to intrigued is an adjustment of attitude. And then all of a sudden, there's a sitting. It's no longer walking by and unintentionally hearing and being overcome with those things, but it's now, you know, no longer standing there and listening and saying, wow, I'm kind of intrigued. It's now, let me sit down and let me understand what you're saying. The posture has changed once again, and each time the posture changes, the depravity goes deeper. A godly person is not so. The foundation is deep. It goes into living waters. And the leaf shall always be green and it will always bear fruit, even in the season of drought. And so it goes from intending to intrigued to interested. I'm now interested in what you have to say. I'm now interested in what you're doing. I now want to be a part of that. I'm going to sit down and others who walk by and stop, I'll talk to. And so we have a choice in Psalm 1. We have a choice, and that choice is we can either become like a river oak, this oak that desires to have a foundation that goes deep into the Word of God and drinks from those living waters. The Spirit of God lives in them, and then their crown goes out and shows glory, and they can guide the travelers, the sojourners of this world, where to go and when to go. And so it's not a matter of is this oak better than the next oak? It's a matter of where God planted this oak. Somebody mentioned this morning that an oak tree is nothing more than an acorn that stood its ground. A river oak would have to stand its ground, or it would be washed away in the floods. It would be carried away with the rains. It would be easy for a river oak to be taken. They have to be a little stubborn. They have to be a little stronger. They have to have a little bit richer spirit of the living God in them. And this is what the river oak is. The river oak is a signpost to all the weary travelers, apostles, prophets, evangelists. There is an anointing with those in the fivefold ministry to proclaim the goodness of their King here in the land of the living, to shout Jesus Christ, the name above all names, the only name by which we can be saved. That's what the river oak does when it drinks of those living waters and has a leaf that is always green and never, never fears a drought. A river oak is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Droughts will come, storms will be there, but the roots go deep and they go into the living waters, not stagnant. And day and night, that river oak drinks of those waters. Day and night, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. Day and night. Should go to bed thinking about it, wake up thinking about it. Should every opportunity throughout the day be directed there to the Word of God. Meditate upon it day and night. Too many people say, I don't know how to pray without ceasing. When you're always thinking with a biblical worldview, you will meditate upon the word day and night. When you see things from God's perspective rather than man's perspective, when you're unwilling to change your posture and you're willing to draw deep of those living waters, then things will change. Let's take a look at the field oak. Amen? In many ways, I feel like a field oak. How does a field oak get in the middle of a field? Sure, a bird could carry an acorn. Maybe a squirrel ran off with it. I don't know what critter of the field or what bird of the air might have carried that acorn out into the middle of a field. But we've got to agree here this morning that that field oak is on like the river oak, is on like the woodland oak, and there's something special about a field oak just to survive. The river oak has plenty of living water, but a field oak doesn't. It's dependent upon the rains. It's depending upon God pouring out His Spirit upon that acorn. And if that acorn isn't willing to completely die and be buried, it's not going to spring forth. So this field oak is really different than the river oak. I would say it's representative, for me at least, symbolically of pastors and teachers in the church. It could be others also. And maybe you feel like a field oak. The truth of the matter is the branches on a field oak spread differently. River oaks lean over a river and they tend to give shade to that. They tend to grow one way because the water is that one way and their roots go that one way. But field oaks get everything from every side, and so the rain comes down evenly and their crown is great. And it spreads out. They're very roundish in their look. Not one-sided like a river oak. Very roundish. They have a crown that really shows the glory of what an oak can and should be. And I believe that God desires that in His people. Underneath this crown that has been set apart, this field oak, it's not that they're above others or whatever. It's just that they're alongside the woodlands. The acorn had to come from somewhere. And so the woodlands aren't far away. But this thing stands typically, we see them on a hill. Kind of lonely, set apart. And that crown becomes a gathering place. Those critters of the field, the rabbits, the squirrels, the sheep, the cattle, they start to gather underneath the crown of this oak for shelter from storms, for shade during hot days, just to commune together and be together. And I think we've all seen and have the images in our mind of animals that have gathered underneath a tree in a field. And this is what that crown then does. It supports and offers the safety and the shelter for those that are coming. For those that are around, they gather at it on a frequent basis together. And this is exactly what we do as a congregation. We come together, and so sometimes I feel like a field oak. Branches spread widely, outreach into communities, local fields and forests, basically, if you could say so. Touching the different areas of those communities laying around, and it is the calling and the objective of a field oak to provide that shelter and that comfort and that safety. The spread branches provide protection during life storms, provide guidance when on a journey. It's interesting because as much as a river oak can provide guidance on the highways of life for the sojourners coming through, the field oak does the same thing. They can see it from a great distance. They know where it's at. And many landmarks in ancient times were at the great tree, go north. And I believe even still today, that guidance is there. And we can see it from a distance. We know. I know there's been times in my life I've thought to myself, I need to go speak to the pastor. I need to give a call and talk to. I met a man who was a field oak. He was a very humble man. He was from Florida, still is. He has three sons who are all serving in the church. Fred was a different man. He was like a field oak. He was an ordained minister in the Church of God, but he was also a chef in the United States Navy. And as a chef, he was a cook for Ronald Reagan's Air Force One. He cooked for Princess Diana and many dignitaries and other people. What a humble man. What a humble, humble man. He was my neighbor. And one day the field oak entered my living room and he said, will you quit calling yourself a Christian? Field oaks can be teachers. I had things in my life that weren't right. God needed to sanctify me, fill me with his Holy Spirit. That field oak that day spoke into my life. And God, amen, go ahead. And God delivered me. I still look to Fred Gifford as a close friend. He's a great man of God. He's raised three godly field oaks himself. And I see some here who can do those very things, have a desire for their branches to spread out, to teach and to preach the Word of God, to bring shelter and safety to those who would gather on a regular, reoccurring basis underneath the crown of its glory. It's interesting because when that field oak is there, you know, often the birds, they will make their nests in the woodlands. Off to the side, the 40 acres over, 100 acres down, there's the woods, and there are the songbirds, and there are the critters, but they come out to that field oak, and they gather. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes in the early morning, that choir just sings and praises God, I guess, in so many ways, and it's in the safety and in the shelter of the field oak that we get those opportunities and those times. So the crown of glory is really not just that God is created uniquely and gifted with an identity, the field oak, but it's that he brings so many others there to worship him and to just praise him in the midst of the field. And all the sojourners through life see a field oak, but a woodland oak gets caught up in the woods. A field oak is on display. It is on display. So this morning, I believe that the crown of glory that God, our Creator, has given is on righteous display in many lives. And that field oak weathers storms all by itself. Many of you know my testimony of what God did in the last year or two of my life with melanoma cancer. Miraculously, mightily healed me. I would say this, if you know anybody who is going through a hardship, be careful that you don't isolate them because of that hardship. See, we often don't understand what is going on in somebody's life, the grieving they're going through, the misery that they're experiencing. And because we don't completely understand, I think often we don't know what to say. But I'm here to tell you, doesn't matter. Don't say nothing. Just be there. It's the power of presence. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, then the Holy Spirit will be there. And Jesus Christ said, where two or three gather, there I am in their midst. You don't need to say anything. Sometimes it's better if you say nothing. But the worst thing you can do is not be there. I know what isolation feels like because people don't know what to say. And I know that they didn't do it out of hurt. They did it out of ignorance of not knowing what to do. So I'm here to tell you, love them. Love them. Love them by just being there. The field oak is just there. When people gather, there it is. It never moves. It never leaves. And it's always there. It's on righteous display. Let's take a look at a forest oak. This is I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and I'm not getting Pentecostal on you this morning, am I? Truth of God's word. And I believe the Spirit of God is working it in a very deep way. The forest oak. It grows together, doesn't it? That's why it's a forest oak. You know, this is where we get the saying, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, or the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? They're all there together. It grows alongside other oaks through Bible studies and connect groups and discipleship classes. And they do that growth together for a reason, because there's a synergy. With one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. And all of these oaks are ready to put many to flight. They gather together like this for a reason. There is strength in numbers. There is safety in numbers. And the woodland oak is really identified by the laity or the congregation. It is who you are in many ways. Not that the river oak and field oak get to escape from any of these things. They have all of these too. However, they're located differently. And the woodland oaks are located together for a reason. It's interesting. You know, woodland oaks don't spread out like that river oak or that field oak, do they? They're tall. They're straight. They're skinny. They're reaching upwards. They're growing strong and tall. And they stand strong. Their grain is straight, and their lumber is true. And they're very serviceable and useful to a carpenter. That's what a woodland oak is. A carpenter doesn't go to the river oak or the field oak to find lumber. He goes into the forest and he finds the straightest, tallest ones he can, cuts them down, and that's what we are. We are here to serve the master carpenter, and he wants our life, and we must lay it down so that he can shape it and form it, sanctify it, cleanse it, anoint it with oil, beautify it, and then set it to service for the master's use. That is what a woodland oak is for. Forest oaks, woodland oaks. Their greatest service is in being cut down, shaped into something useful, fully serving the carpenter and the master. He's the one who really takes our life. Yes, we must lay it down, but he takes it. He receives it, and then he gives a newness of life in service. In a highly useful way, far above what we could think, what we could ask for. This is really the forest oak. They're together growing. And then at some point in that growing, they are selected, shaped, crafted. Really, allowing the master to really, the carpenter to come and cut down that oak. Gain a new life. We think, wow, the oak's going to die. But in reality, it gains a new life. A reason greater than simply being one of many. Now it's to be crafted and shaped into a beautiful thing. Be beautified with the spiritual giftedness. It's interesting because no work that the carpenter does is really ever sent out and completed until the finishing touches are put on. The sandpaper is applied. The beauty of the grain comes out. And then hand-applied oils massaged into the wood, into every pore of the grain. And God's anointing upon our life is that way. When it gets into you, 20-some years ago when I read that passage, it was into every pore of my being. There was nothing I could do to no longer deny that God has called me. And then I did everything I could to answer that call. The beauty of Jesus Christ comes out in the applying of those oils, ready for the master's service. I'm going to ask if the musician could come. If you feel like a field oak today, maybe you identify more like a river oak or a field oak. But if you desire to be part of that woodland oak, that forest oak, will you stand with me here today? See, Jeremiah 17 says this in verses 7 and 8, says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Will you stand with me today? I don't know where you're at, but I know where I was 20-some years ago. I know where I'm at today. I am not the same. Thank God for Fred Gifford. Thank God for field oaks that would challenge, who would have a pastoral heart and a teaching spirit. Thank God for those river oaks that were a signpost along my spiritual walk, those who uttered prophetically into my life and into the lives of those around me. Thank God for the forest oaks that I could be a part of, harvested from, and shaped. into this pastor, this man that you see today. It's interesting because Matthew or John, the fourth chapter, there's a woman who comes to a well. It's Jacob's well, and Jesus is there. He tells her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to give to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. She's at that well, looking to take a drink of water that's just going to quench a thirst, but it's going to come back in an hour. Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There is living water living in you today. Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Lord, I call forth those waters, that life would come, that the leaves would turn green today, Lord God. Lord, that you would touch each and every one. Lord, there is a forest here. They have grown strong. Their grain is true, oh God. They reach for the light and their leaves touch heaven. But Lord, the carpenter has come. He walks through the forest and he cuts down what he will. Shape us, mold us in the presence of the King. Apply the anointing oils, Lord God, the minerals, the Spirit of God into each and every life here today. Lord, I pray an anointing upon each and every one. That you would be with them. That you would craft them, shape them, beautify them as only you can. Jesus, Master Carpenter. You built many things, tables, doors. Possibly ships and oars. But Lord, the greatest thing you ever built was a cross. The master carpenter placed himself upon a cross. And Lord, you ask us to lay down our lives, to be cut down, that you might craft us into the image of your Son. I pray that into each and every one today. If there is one here who desires to know you in that way, Lord, as Savior of their soul, I pray that you would show them. Them know that you are the Son of God, that you came, died, and rose again, and that if they believe in their heart and they confess with their mouth, they too shall be saved. Lord, you will make them a beautiful work in the Master's hand. I give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name.